doing the drinking game. Should I have booze on hand?
Aren't you only like 19?
Moonshine.
No, I'm 25.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Welcome to SageCast 1.0, otherwise known as Tech Gaming Podcast 8-3. I am here as your host this week. I am Sammy Rage, Rock the Hawk, Morris Green. And we also have with us Robert Desert Eagle Allen. Say hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. One thing I want to do this week is kind of mention the passing of Bill Kunkel, who was the pioneer of gaming journalism, and just real briefly talk about he was a big influence on my life. His Electronic Games was kind of the first gaming magazine I had ever read. Actually, reading wasn't the proper term. I worshipped the magazine, you know, carefully analyzed every picture, ad review, and preview when I could buy a copy. And I'm sure that the I do remember the Miner 2049er, that dedicated issue with its game cover art. It influenced the print game for years to come. Last week, someone mentioned I used the word mechanics too often. Probably guilty of that. So that term, along with, you know, screenshot, Easter egg, those are just part of the language Kunko contributed to gaming. I understand he also had a hand in a couple of games, Batman Returns and The Simpsons Bart's Nightmare, which I played. He wrote comics for DC and Marvel and even covered pro wrestling. So I wanted to thank the Game Doctor for his contributions. He will be missed.
A lot of real bummer deaths in gaming lately.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're kind of hitting that point where, I mean, film probably had that point too, where all of a sudden death is part of the industry, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were all young when it started 30 years ago.
Before we take a moment of silence for our fallen video game comrades, that voice you're hearing would be the welcome back of our favorite grump, Sean Nola Kirkland. Whom we missed. We definitely missed, for sure. And then chuckling in the background is Blue Swim. Say hi, Blue.
Can I be a Power Ranger again?
Yes, sure.
Yay! Triceratops!
But you have to be the pink one.
Yeah, I get to be Blue Ranger.
Do I get to take the pink one?
No, you get to be the pink one.
I thought we were the Prism Rangers.
Are we? We're the Prison Rangers, maybe.
Support this idea, dude.
Gross. Anyway, everyone take a moment of silence at home or in your car or on your way to work for the video game greats that we are losing and have lost. Cool, moving on. So, in honor of... I said a moment, not a million moments. So, in honor of Dead Island coming out, which I, as some of you may know, I'm not thrilled about, but I do respect greatly the zombie genre in video gaming, we're going to start this week off with a little bit of a chat about our various impressions of Dead Island and other similar titles.
Can I start with the Grumpus on specifically Dead Island?
You can start with the Grumpus. Go.
All right. Well, I'm not going to make it specifically about Grumpus, about Dead Island so much as the coverage of that game and Deus Ex. It's kind of what I noticed when I removed myself from the industry for a while and just kind of when I was getting back into it, looking at the way things were. It seemed like those two games specifically, journalists had a really hard time talking about in a way that was critical and at the same time made people happy, which should never be the goal. Your goal when you're writing a review should never be to make the readers happy. It should be to, you know, give them your opinion. But I read a bunch of different reviews of both games, and a lot of times it was, here's a list of things wrong with this game, and then the summary paragraph is either you might like this game or I enjoyed this game despite the fact that here's this laundry list of things I didn't like about it. And they never tell you why. Deus Ex that kind of stood out to me because what I got from it was, this game's a lot like Alpha Protocol, except for instead of okay stealth and shitty shooting, it has okay shooting and shitty stealth. And it's really good, and it does this stupid shitty Fable ending thing, so... You know, all your choices don't matter. But all things considered, it's a lot better than Alpha Protocol. Okay, bye. And it just seemed like there was the hype wagon ahead of time. And so they kind of had to feed into that. But, I mean, we're not talking about Deus Ex. We're talking about Dead Rising.
But, Sean, one of the things I always remember is you were a big fan of Alpha Protocol. How much of that was just kind of your own anger for them kind of comparing and trouncing on Alpha Protocol in the elevation of Deus Ex?
It's not so much the trouncing on. It's that they said these two are contemporaries, and then mm-hmm. one gets elevated because it had more hype behind it. I almost okay. wonder if it's not so much that Deus Ex should have deserved a lower score, the Alpha Protocol should have deserved a higher score. It seems like as long as people are calling them contemporaries, you would think they would have looked at them as contemporaries instead of saying, this one, it's the first game in a series, it's not very good, as opposed to, this is a prequel to a game we all really liked, and that means there might be more of them, so we're going to really talk it up.
Well, I think, unfortunately, a lot of gaming journals and journalists have sort of gotten caught up in, because gaming is becoming like a huge industry, both artistically and in terms of something to talk about, because it's something that most people can understand, unlike, you know, some types of fine art, and it's something that a lot of people can get behind and have an opinion about. But I think that unfortunately it's created a really big hype market, and I do think a lot of journalists end up falling into, rather than doing like actual contemporary reviews, they just get caught up in the hype and they're like, this one sounds better because, and this one sounds better because.
Or it's audience fear, where I think nowadays people are genuinely afraid of their audience. And I think giving a game, and this is where Dead Rising comes in, there's been a lot of hype behind Dead Rising based almost entirely on a trailer. But it was mm-hmm. a good trailer, and a lot of people liked it, and it got a lot of people excited about it really early on. So there's been a bubbling up of hype for a year mm-hmm. about a game that, I mean, we played it at E3, it seemed bad. From what I understand now, it seems okay.
And what I would even add on that is the relationship between press representative, someone we've, you know, had on the show before, and the audience. You know, she sends these really kind of funny emails, and she is really active in kind of the gaming journalist circuit, you know, constantly keeps in touch and contact. And when you develop a relationship like that, there is the possibility of that kind of tainting the honesty of a review.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's weird how this machine has kind of turned what we do into something almost useless. Like, I have gotten to the point where I don't trust, like, they do not affect my purchase decision even a little bit.
Well, I think it depends
on... Well, he took a shot at you, Deagle.
I think it depends on who you're listening to, because I think that, you know, I think more online, if you want to call them magazines, like, you know, online sites that do game reviews, are getting more popular for that reason, because some of them still play that same game, but I think that there are numerous ones that do actually have real opinions and that are worth looking at if you're going to order something or if you want to play a game.
Like techgaming.com.
Well, yeah, well, I think what the dialogue I wanted to start was sort of a, what do we bring to the table that's worth reading? And I keep trying to bring this back into what I learned while I was gone. And I know I'm getting like super way off topic and I apologize, but while I was gone, I kind of pulled myself away from video games in general. I played games on my own, but I pulled myself out of the industry. I didn't follow news, and I spent all that time that I would have spent on video game journalism, and I kind of looked into comics. Mm-hmm. And they kind of have some of the same sort of dichotomies that we have. It's been building over 70 years as opposed to 30. Mm-hmm. And the big thing you come across in comic books is there's a difference between being a comic book fan, which is generally thought of as a superhero fan, and a fan of the medium of comics. And you get two very different readerships in that. You get superhero fans who are just people, by and large, people who have seen the movies, watched the cartoons, their mom bought them a comic book when they were little, and they probably still have it somewhere in their house. And you have people who are fans of the medium of comic book who read. And that sounds really insulting, but it's the truth. Like, there's a barrier to entry right. there that you have to enjoy reading, and they're a lot more well-read, and they have interesting discussions, and a lot fewer flame wars and stuff.
Right.
And that separation... Well. That separation is harder to find in video games. And one of the things I think that we have here, I don't know how we did it, is we have genuinely well-read, intelligent readers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't think of, except for when we review a Madden game, article that we have that'll bring a lot of, you know, like, ignorant talk and a lot of flame wars and stuff. Mm-hmm. We generally have, even when they're goofy off-topic poop joke threads, we have intelligent readers, and I don't know how that happened, but I'm really glad we did. And it kind of made me, like, seeing that in other mediums, It just made me happy to be part of this, and I want to know how we can expand that to nurture that. If it's more reviews, then fine, but if there's something else we can do to bring people in and say, hey, smart people, come talk about smart things here, I want to discover how to do that.
Mm-hmm. I feel happy for our readers.
I had a way I was going to bring that around back to Dead Island.
I know what it is. Our readers are not zombies.
We're going to talk about zombie games, though. I totally took us 20 minutes into a different direction.
I like those directions, though.
I did too, and I agree. I do think we have phenomenal readers, and I happen to like that they're harsh. I mean, sometimes it hurts me when I write an article and they're like, man, you suck. But I appreciate that we have readers that actually give input and have an opinion on the quality of what we do. I think that that's really important.
I've been really happy that I've seen we've been hitting the top of the N4G charts for many reviews for Disgaea recently, and there were a couple others. And I was really, really happy that our audience is growing that channel. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, anyway, so moving along, I mean, Sean, did you have any other thoughts on Dead Island, or just that it's getting too much hype?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to it existing or anything, so it's like another boring-ass zombie game, but it just does seem like it does a bunch of things that a bunch of other games have done very well, but it doesn't do any of them particularly well.
As well.
And it seems that when you say those things and don't end that statement with a, but if you overlook the fact that it's a terrible game, it has zombies in it, that's cool, right? If you don't put that sandwich on the end of it, then people seem to get really upset with it. And I mean, it comes out today, and there's already tons of articles that are being attacked like that, and I just think that that's the part of our this fan part of our industry that really upsets me.
I think the idea of it, because I've heard it compared to a Fallout 3 mm-hmm. set on a zombie island, I think that concept is ripe for exploitation. I just think the actual mechanics, from what I've heard, it's too simple. The weapons themselves kind of wear down, and it's not really enjoyable to play. I don't know. Maybe they tried to create some kind of, you know, simulation RPG element, and by doing that, they forgot to, hey, let's make this fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest complaint. I did watch some live video of some people playing it today, and a lot of weird, wonky stuff, cars getting stuck, weapons getting stuck, a lot of cursing. It didn't really look polished to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Deep Silver, most of their console games have been pretty unpolished, with the exception of, what was their motocross game they did that was pretty good, and then they did a PSP game that I reviewed a long time ago that was pretty good.
Mytran Wars?
Yeah, Mytran Wars. But other than that, everything they've done has been pretty...
Yeah, they got a lot of these German RPGs, like they got that, which are interesting, but yeah.
What a weird thing to be into.
Yeah, but you're right, Sean. They're really clunky, and they feel like PC ports, and they don't play very well, and you almost have to overlook their faults and defects to enjoy the game.
Well, they're budget games in an era where we don't have budget games anymore.
Also, gamers are a lot more sophisticated. So if you design a game that has simple and clunky mechanics both, or just clunky mechanics, like simple's okay if it works fine. But if you've got a game that has clunk and the mechanics aren't very sophisticated, you're playing to an audience that doesn't exist anymore. I mean, gaming has sort of moved forward from that.
I would take issue with, we don't have budget games anymore, and talk about DLC, downloadable games. I think those are the budget games, because they're produced for a smaller budget and designed for a lower barrier of entry.
Yeah. Right. And I talk about that.
With nowadays, it's like a full price game will be like $30. I think Deus Ex is going to be $35 at Toys R Us next week. I mean, it's like, I think the prices drop a lot quickly these days. So games being like budget titles doesn't really matter, because all you have to do is just wait. I mean, a very short amount of time, and it's budget.
That goes back to what I've said before, that people, you know, companies don't sell $60 games anymore. They sell $60 launch events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's these hypes, and they get you around this idea of buying it on the first day, because the next week there's another game you have to buy on Tuesday, and the next Tuesday there's another game you have to buy. So they cram it all into that one day, and then after that their sales just plummet.
Right.
And I mean, if you're okay being a week behind, that's fine. But we've sort of nurtured this community of, hey, you're not part of this community unless you can talk about what's come out this week. And
it's true.
I think you got a question last week that was, is gaming a rich man's hobby? And the short answer is no, it's not. But being a part of the gaming community really is.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
Before we get too off topic, Blue, what did you think about, or what do you think about, you know, Dead Island now that it's out and available?
Honestly, I really haven't been paying that much attention to it. I've gotten worn out on zombie games, just like
yeah.
I have World War II games. I mean,
it's high five.
Nice. That's good.
I was talking to the guy that was working retail over at Kmart, and he said he was like getting ready to get Dead Island. They'd already gotten their copies in. That was last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, I really haven't been paying attention to it.
Okay. Well, I mean, hopefully, listeners, at some point, one of us will have played it. We can give you a more accurate vision of what it seems like, and not just what we think it's going to be like.
I mean, not a lot that comes out this. But maybe if Redbox gets it in, I'll pick it up and report back.
I think it was interesting the way we all went to the Deep Silver booth and we were able to kind of see the game and we watched it, you know, for, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes. And we all just kind of, I've seen enough. I get the
idea. Yeah, I mean, they offered us to play it. You watch all these people incredibly frustrated and, you know, it looks clunky.
One chick was like ready to tear the machine apart. I mean, she was just about screaming at her machine.
And then they're like, so do you want your turn? And we're like,
nope. Not really.
First person melee combat with weapons that fall apart.
Right, that isn't as well done.
And it's a survival simulation where you wear stockings and high heels and a miniskirt.
Right. And you kind of can't be Left 4 Dead for that style anymore because
I'm sure somebody can, and it's noble of them to try, but if you're going to try, you got to try harder.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, isn't there another zombie game coming up called
Lollipop Chainsaw?
Yeah, Lollipop Chainsaw.
Suda's next one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that going to be another zombie game?
It's a Suda game. I don't know if you can put his games in little boxes like that. It's a Japanophile.
It's like an Americanized Onichanbara.
But it's not Americanized, though. Only thing American... No, it's Suda. Suda's the guy who does...
game
that just got on PS3. No More Heroes, Suda. And... Yeah,
I mean, doesn't it take place in like an American high school?
Yeah, it's a cheerleader, Juliet Starling. So to me, just from reading about it, it seems like it's an amalgamation mesh of like Chainsaw Massacre, Silence of the Lambs, and I mean basically any like sort of literary pop culture reference. Like you've got a Romeo and Juliet aspect because you've got this cheerleader and her boyfriend and his family, and you've got, you know, Chainsaw Massacring, obviously, and you've got the Starling idea, which to me, like the fact that they named her that makes it seem like they were trying to make it sort of sophisticated, like, you know, that like FBI intelligence feeling, not gameplay wise, but just to sort of get the ball rolling on having a sophisticated, which seems like this, I mean, it's either going to work really well or really badly, because it seems like this funny, like we want to combine sophistication with just ridiculous campiness.
It's a spiritual successor to No More Heroes. No More Heroes, they had Travis Touchdown, the American guy who said fuck a lot, and they were like, you know what this needs? More panty shots. So let's replace Travis Touchdown with a girl with a sword and a really short skirt, and then we'll have another game.
I mean, hey, it worked for, what was that movie? Sucker Punch.
Oh, don't mention that movie.
You don't like Sucker Punch?
Nobody liked that movie except for you, Sage. We've had this discussion on the show before.
I blocked it out of my memory.
Yeah.
I don't know how I made it through all
really?
2 hours.
I just thought it was unpolished. I didn't think it was terrible. It was a really valiant attempt at a really complicated topic that wasn't pulled off perfectly, but he tried.
Not to like name drop Redbox for a second time, I guess third time now, but it's like I was interested in maybe renting Sucker Punch, and then I found out that it has 15 minutes of unskippable trailers at the beginning and no special features
chapter
selection.
Who the fuck does unskippable trailers? It's like such an obnoxious thing to put into your DVD
coding. Especially because it's weird when you watch a movie. Okay, there's like this, when you watch an old movie, you always watch the trailers at the beginning because it's kitschy and funny.
Right.
But there's a point after it's new and before it's old where that's super obnoxious.
Yeah, you don't want to see that shit.
I don't want to see the trailers for what's in the bargain bin.
Actually, I think the trailers that come before Sucker Punch will be more interesting than the actual film itself.
Oh, fuck off.
That film is a huge turd.
I think that's overly harsh, but everyone gets their own opinion.
Zack Snyder's, well, I didn't see the Owl movie, but his first misstep that I've seen.
Yeah.
I've heard mixed things about the Warriors of Ga'Hoole.
Or whatever.
Yeah. What was I going to say? So we spent half an hour talking about one game.
Yay!
One and a half, because I also brought up Deus Ex, but we should probably talk about other games.
Well, thank you, Sean. I was getting to that. yeah, go ahead, Sean, since you want to blah blah about something else. What have you been playing?
I want to talk about a game I've never talked about before.
Yay.
Disguise?
Space Marine. Warhammer 40K Space Marine. I know, you guys are like, what? Why does Sean want to talk about this game? He never talks about that game. But it came out today, and so I can talk about it in for reals. I've played it sort of way, and it is good.
Is it?
I played the demo.
Yeah, the demo was weird because it's the second level, so it's basically saying, all right, we're not going to teach you how to play this, just go. And I talked to a lot of people who just said it was too hard, but that's because it never tells you how to heal yourself.
Wait. When I played it, it told me. I was playing it on the Xbox. You hit the Y to stun, and then you hit the B, and then you get execute.
But it tells you that after you die when it's reloading, and it's only if you pay attention to the load screen. It never, like...
Oh, you know what? There was something about a stun, and I guess I pulled off a stun, and I noticed that. Because sometimes, you know, the first time I'm kind of experiment with the buttons, typically that top button is usually kind of the power strike, and so it's just, I guess, fucking around, and I came across it accidentally.
Yeah, but it never explicitly tells you that until you've died once, and then it's only like you said, you know, it's showing you the buttons again, and then off to the side it says to heal yourself, you know, do an execute move, and it never tells you to stun them first. You just kind of have to figure that on your own.
Sean, real quick, for people who aren't familiar with the title / that genre / those games, would you tell people a little bit what it's about?
Okay, well, in the grim future of the 41st millennium, there is only war. A long, long time ago, this is kind of a funny story. This morning, I was looking at stuff on my phone about Space Marine, and it's school season again, so the high schoolers have started riding my bus. And it's like, oh, it's Warhammer, I played that. And I was like, oh, yeah, really cool. I've been playing that for a while. I was like, yeah, but I used to play during first edition, and I stopped once they moved up to second edition. And I was like, I started playing 14 years ago. It was second edition. How old are you? And I didn't say that out loud. I just asked him how old he was, and he's like, I'm 14. I was like, I have literally been playing this game since before he was born, and that
did
makes
you
me feel so old.
Well, aside from feeling like an old man, did you call him out on his bullshit?
Yeah, I was like, are you sure you weren't talking about, like, 4th edition? He's like, oh, no, they changed editions and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, because, I mean, a lot of people stopped when they changed the 5th edition because it was a big change. 5th edition is better. But anyway, so they made Relic, who made the Dawn of War games on the PC, finally made a third-person shooter-type game, and it's awesome. And it's going to get compared a lot to Gears of War, but it should probably be more compared to Dynasty Warriors, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a more challenging Dynasty Warriors, I think. You know, where there's
Sean, did you just say awesome and Dynasty Warriors in the same sentence?
No, I mean...
What the fuck world am I on?
I'm not the one that always...
What was he doing on that time off?
I'm not the one that bashes Dynasty Warriors. I just don't think they're all that great.
Okay.
But
okay.
I do think that the idea of having that style of gameplay with a little bit more challenge to it is intriguing. And it's in a universe that I am personally invested in. I'm a big fan of Warhammer. And like, you asked me to write some words on it, and I will. So I won't talk too much about it on the podcast. But what I did want to talk about is how weird it is... how Games Workshop, the company that owns Warhammer, has handled this video game, but more generally the video games that they've licensed out in general. When I heard about this game, what I was really excited about was that they were focusing on a character, a new character that's an Ultramarine, and the Ultramarines are like the Mickey Mouse chapter of the Space Marine. And I thought, cool, there's going to be a special edition. It's going to come out right around the time they've got the new fine cast resin models coming out. They're going to do some sort of special collector's model of this new character with new stats, and that's going to be the way to get it, and it's going to be really cool. I'm going to, you know, put down as much money as I can to get this thing that I can use in this board game I play. And they come out with it. It's got a replica of the little wax badges they use, which, okay, whatever. Purity Seals, are they called, and an art book, which has a lot of recycled art that Games Workshop's been using for over a decade now. And it's as a fan of this universe, mm-hmm. it's such a letdown. And they did the same thing with Dawn of War. Dawn of War brought a lot of people into the board game, which mm-hmm. is, you know, their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. And they made up a chapter for that game. And that's now one of the most heavily, at least in North America, that's the most heavily played Codex chapter. Mm-hmm. But they never released any models for it. They never released any characters for it or anything. They just said, oh, that's the video game thing. We just, you know, those people gave us some money, or we gave them some money, or whatever. They made a game. That's a thing that happened. And it's this weird disconnect that they've nurtured this part of it that brings in business, and then they ignore it once the business has been brought over. Mm. And that's really sad for me, because I really like that universe, and I'd like to see more things done with that universe. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's, for those developers, like, I love that Relic takes such good care of the license and makes such great games. But I feel like there's very little payoff. They've sort mm-hmm. of created these satellite entities that aren't allowed to interact with the rest of the world. Mm. And that right. bums me out.
Now, what confuses me is I don't really know much about the 40K universe, but the decision to turn it into an action game I thought was a little surprising. Maybe it would have been better suited, I thought, as a strategy RPG.
Well, they've done that before. I mean, did you play the old Space Hulk games?
Oh, on 3DO. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, there was one. The mm-hmm. 3DO one was the second one. There was an original one that was on PC.
Okay.
It is the Dark Angels. That mm-hmm. one is arguably better, even though it's ugly nowadays. Well, I mean,
sure.
both of them are ugly nowadays, but that one's particularly ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are like squad-based action strategy games.
Okay.
They're based directly off of a sort of satellite board game called Space Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the idea of an action game isn't too far off. I mean, there's a rule set called Kill Teams,
mm-hmm.
which is meant to be, instead of played with a big army, you play it with about five dudes, and it's a lot more just squad tactics kind of thing, and it feels a little bit more like that.
Okay.
And it's hard to have a board game where you've got people mowing people down with chainsaws and machine guns and say, I don't want to turn that into an action game.
Yeah, pretty irresistible.
I've always wanted this game, so I'm excited they finally made it. And I wish they would have done it with Space Wolves instead of Ultramarines, but that's a minor gripe.
Why do you think that would have been better?
Well, A, because I play Space Wolves in the board game.
Yeah.
But also, there's Space Vikings, so like, you're going to have brutal, bloody combat. Why not just have it with some fucking Vikings that are chopping people to death with axes instead of, you know, Ultramarines who, you know, in the mythos of the game are more like a stand back in one big wall of people and shoot at stuff until it dies kind of. Mm. I don't know.
From what I played of the demo, I did like it. I like the way enemies, there was some intelligence to the AI. Mm-hmm. If they were getting slaughtered, they'd kind of run away. The only thing that I didn't like so far was the more theatrical animations. I only saw a couple of those, and hopefully the full game would have a little bit more.
I noticed that too. I just got the game today. I'm not that mm-hmm. super far into it.
Sure.
But I've got a feeling that you're going to unlock those over time, and they're weapon based.
Okay.
So if you, at the end of the demo, it's not really obvious, but there's a little pylon that you can actually pull a bunch of weapons off of, and there are a bunch of different kill animations that are weapon specific. But I don't know if you earn more per weapon.
Okay.
Now there's no cover system in the game. Is that right?
New. It's actually, it feels very old school arcadey in that sense, because you have your armor, which has its own health, and that recharges, and
mm-hmm.
then your regular health, the only way to recharge that is through doing these execution moves. And there's no cover system at all, you know, and it mm-hmm. makes you feel very powerful, and it doesn't make you, it forces you to kind of run in, you know, balls to the wall and just go after dudes instead of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that's empowering? It doesn't make you feel vulnerable or anything?
It makes me not feel like I'm playing Gears of War, which is what
good.
I was really concerned about, that it really was just going to be Gears of Warhammer. it definitely isn't like that. It's you weaken this mob while you're running towards them, and then you pull out your sword or your axe or whatever you're armed with, and then you just go to town on them.
Sweet.
And that's satisfying in a very different way. So, but I'll write about it more later when I played it more.
Deagle, did I cut you off? Did you have another question?
No, but I think you owe me a few cutoffs.
Do you? Really? Okay.
No more questions.
Sean, anything else?
I played a lot of Marvel Superhero Squad Online, which is a free-to-play Marvel game for children.
I was going to say, isn't that the super cute one?
Yeah, and it's really fun.
Oh, mega kawaii and fun, huh?
Yeah, mega kawaii. It is an American game. Damn
it. So it's American kawaii.
It is adorable, maybe.
But it, between, between zombies and kawaii, you're really trying to get under Sean's skin tonight, aren't you?
I should never have come back here.
Oh, no.
I don't want to waste y'all's time on it, because I know it's something that people aren't going to be really interested in, but it's really made me think long and hard about the idea of free-to-play games.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think that more and more people are going to have to start giving up this idea that the only real games are $60 boxed games and
right.
start looking at these other price models. Because when you're actually in there, you do, like, I haven't spent $60 on that game, but I've been playing it for a month and I've spent $20. And, you know, like, I feel good about those purchases.
And not only is it good for your wallet, but there are some quality games. I mean, some of the most, I'd say the majority of the quality games I've played were the cheapy ones that you get that are not the $60 games. Like, I think mm-hmm. there's been three $60 games in the last as many years that I actually felt, you know, like I spent my money well.
We had a Nexon free-to-play game that we played at E3.
Yeah, we had a good time with that.
Yeah, it was like a...
Oh, yeah.
Sort of mages and archers sort of deathmatch game.
Mm-hmm.
That one was hilarious. We stayed in that booth. We were in that booth for like an hour at least playing that game.
We got to figure out what game that was, because that was fun and I'd like to write about it.
Dragons and
It was one of Nexon's new game.
Yeah.
Like Dragon's Egg, I think it was what it was called.
Yep.
Something. Yeah. Also, they had the best food and swag and drinks in all of E3.
So that's why Sage was there for an hour.
No, we had a good time. I liked kicking y'all's asses and getting my ass kicked by you guys. It was good.
Mm. Nom, nom, nom. This is a good game. Nom, nom, nom.
My stomach is very important to me, but it's not more important than good game reviewing, which does not come from my tummy. It comes from my brain.
I was going to say, it comes from your gut.
No.
Anyway, somebody else talk about games they played, because I'm sure people don't want to hear about how much I love Captain America.
Oh, I do. Well, let me just ask you one question. It's not downloadable, right? It's online that you play?
It's browser-based. You still have to download some of the files, but it's browser-based.
And it's sophisticated enough to adequately capture attention.
Yeah, I think it's got a bunch of different parts to it. The main part is kind of like Diablo without the loot, which doesn't sound very compelling, but surprisingly fun. But then there's also like a really, really surprisingly deep collectible card game.
Nice.
And I used to play card games all the time when I was in like 6th or 7th grade, and then I stopped because they were dumb and there were like a billion of them. And this is the first one I've played probably since I was in 9th grade, and it's really good. Like,
sweet.
It's solid. And if they made a physical version of it, I would buy it in a heartbeat, and then people would think I'm a pedophile.
Well, there you go, boys and girls. There's a great game that won't kill your bank account, so check it out.
I actually think we should do a whole show devoted to free-to-play. I think we're giving a little short shrift this week, and because there's a lot of interesting stuff out there, and you know, we should spend some more time with it.
Okay, so in the next 2 weeks, guys, look forward to free-to-play cast.
Yeah, right. I like that idea.
Isn't the like official Pokemon trading card game, isn't that free to play online? Didn't they launch like a digital version of it?
Nintendo didn't. Somebody had made a client at some point that did something similar to that, and it's always been free as far as I know.
Okay, well, on that note of moving on, Deagle, what have you been playing?
Well, the first thing I'm going to talk about.
Oh, well.
Not that many of my co-hosts care. I've been really sinking into Disgaea 4. I spent a lot
of
time.
I love the Disgaea, dude.
Oh my god.
I think I was another, the co-host he was talking about.
Another. Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's just Sean. I'm not going to talk too much about it, but like I said in the review, this is pure Disgaea fan service. You know, it's got cameos from across the whole series. It's got things like there's an upcoming DLC character whose attack powers up an additional, 1% for every 10 hours you sink in the game. So really, yeah, wow. Kind of incredible, hardcore stuff there. So for all the Disgaea haters, I'll keep my promise Unforgiven chatter brief. I just want to say it's a really funny, well-made Disgaea game. It has the usual problems. The boss in the eighth world is still a bitch, and I won't offer any spoilers, but there's a certain symbol that you can use in the campaign HQ that really breaks the game. But the dialogue, the battles, the storyline are all top notch. I even have some money kind of set aside for the DLC, which, knowing me, is a rarity. Sean.
So did you like it more or less than Disgaea 3? Because I know I liked Disgaea 3 more than you did.
Yes, I liked it more. Okay. I just thought the dialogue, the characters, Mao was interesting, but I was really fond. Going in, I didn't think I would like the characters as much, but they really kind of grew on me. And so that has a lot to do with how well I like the game.
Like warts.
I won't say genital warts.
Oh, man. Why you got to make it about the sex parts always?
So keep it covered. Anyway, enough about D4. The NAIS game I'm going to talk about right now. Yes.
Now, were the voice actors and actresses the same from the cameos that were in the previous games?
I honestly don't know that. From what I have heard, one of our readers said that one of the voice actor was the main guy from Catherine, and I haven't verified that, but you know, I believe him. I have no reason to doubt. I'm not too good at picking out voice actors, saying, you know, except for maybe Nolan North. You know, a lot of them are so talented they can really change their voice, but you know, pretty sound good.
Did Laharl sound like Laharl and stuff like that?
Yeah, totally did. You know who's
the voice actress for Laharl, right?
Barbara, forgot the last name.
Bush. You know who she played, right?
Gross.
Rita Repulsa.
Yes, yes. Didn't I tell you that, Blue? Was I the one who filled you in on that? Yeah.
Recycled info, boo.
Anyway, so the other NAIS game I'm going to talk about tonight is Clay Dune X2, which I've been calling E-Crack. Over the weekend, between Disgaea 4 rounds, I put about 7 hours in, unless the game clock is putting one over on me. For those, and I know that there's a lot of people out there that didn't download the original Clay Dune on the PSN, so shame on you. The sequel.
I downloaded it.
Yeah, I know, and you liked it, Sean.
It was weird because I did like it a lot, but at the same time, about 2 hours in, I was like, this game just doesn't grab me. And it's frustrating when it's like that, when you're like,
now, why
I recognize,
you?
That's the thing, I don't know. I feel like if I knew, then I could look past it, but it's one of those things that 2 hours in, I was just done with it. I was like, I don't need to ever play this game again.
Ooh,
and that's a bummer because I did enjoy it. It's just
Are you a fan of the roguelikes or no?
I am, and I know that's a good one. But like I said, just for whatever reason, after a while, I don't know if its charm just wore off. It was kind of short-lived for me, but I turned it on one day, and I was like, this isn't what I'm in the mood for, and I will never be in the mood for it again.
Oh. So, well, one of the things for me about the first game that maybe turned me off was there were some difficulty spikes. You would go in through a dungeon, and it would be fairly easy. And then you'd encounter a boss that would just kind of kick your ass. Kind of the E syndrome. But the sequel, it fixed many of the problems of the original game. I did get my ass handed to me a few times, but I discovered I was going about things the wrong way. It almost tricks you. I won't get into that, but there's at least one early boss where it's kind of a fake boss there. They add a ton of content and things to do. You can draw your own face, you can draw your own weapons, you can even create remix the game's music. I mean, they really threw the kitchen sink into this game. But you know, I'm not here to talk about the extras. We should talk about the game. As I mentioned, it's kind of a real-time roguelike. You go through these series of dungeons that are filled with monsters, traps, fire, things like that. Now, unlike most rogue clones where you control a single character, Clay Dune has a single character on screen, but their stats are represented by what they call the magic circle. Now, the magic circle, I've been explaining it to people as kind of the circuit board where you have different templates. And it is fairly complex the first time you come across it. And they allow you to place your players, your different teammates, and things like these small artifacts. And they affect things like your amount of magic power, your hit points, your speed, your defense, all those things. So far, I've unlocked 20 of these different magic circles, so 20 of these different patterns. And each one kind of caters to a different play style. So it gives some give you, you know, the power of your teammates, but at a loss of HP. Others give you just a few spots for teammates, but, you know, fewer penalties. So it is surprisingly deep. Now, the one problem I have with it is beyond your, you know, usual. The one thing I do really like is that the weapon selection is really good. I had this magician. Actually called one of them Nola. I don't think it's a magician nice. I'm thinking about. But he had different staffs, one that kind of split into like a three-way. I think it was an ice shot, one that had this homing fire missile, and another with this slow-moving gray whistle. And just with staffs, like the weapons vary by, you know, things like firing power, range, you know, speed, type
I heard,
of attack.
I heard gray whistle, three-way, and staff.
There's the explicit tag. Anyway, my one criticism so far, and it has to do with you have to buy the best loot, is what I found. Now, the game does offer, I think Ryan said it was three different random dungeons. So far, I've only unlocked two. And in these, players can go like 100 levels deep. Yeah, I said deep. So
that's
maybe
deep.
So maybe that's where the good stuff is kept. But anyway, you need solid gear to kind of...
Did you just say the good stuff is deep?
Yeah.
Like all the way deep in there?
Yeah, you got to dig deep in that one.
He's talked about all the way in the back of the fridge.
Uh-huh.
That's where all the good milk is.
The fridge.
I smell explicit tag.
Oh, Jesus.
You don't want any of that milk that's just sitting on the outside there.
Oh, right. God.
That one's going to go bad first.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't even know where I was. You might need good gear to get down in there. It's a minor problem, but otherwise I'm really enjoying Claydone X2. Last thing I want to talk about is I put in just before the show in Rise of Nightmares. Now originally I saw this game at a Sega event and it played like total shit. they had this room that was partitioned with two kind of alleys, each with Kinect sensors, and I don't know if it was too dark because you kind of need a dark ambient for, you know, for this horror game, or, you know, they were showing off an early build, but the game was just really unresponsive. It kept telling me I was too close, even though I was probably a good 7 feet away from the sensor. So after playing the final retail version, I can say things have improved. First, it should be known that walking around the game hasn't, you know, totally improved. You'll never find it, you know, instinctive. You have to move your shoulders to pivot, and then you take a step forward to move, and you place one heel back to kind of step back. I mean, it feels as clunky, if not clunkier, than the old Resident Evil games. But you can navigate your way around the environment, and periodically you raise your right hand kind of at it, like you're making a signal, you know, at a 90-degree angle, and that kind of pushes you to the next event. Now, where the game focuses on action and less than mystery solving is where it kind of comes apart, because there is this kind of certain charm about it when you slowly, you know, you push doors open, you pull switches, you turn over cards, and it has like kind of this definite horror film vibe. You know, the pacing's pretty good. You know, it's got these like creepy Romanian fortune tellers, these obnoxious Germans, and all the other, you know, wonderful European stereotypes.
Now, are you saying horror or horror film?
I'm glad somebody else said that.
Horror.
Horror.
The horror, as in Apocalypse Now.
Yay.
No, there is no W in front of that.
Okay.
Thanks for the clarification.
T-Y.
Not to disappoint all the listeners at home.
So anyway, I got to spend some more time with it, but I'm definitely enjoying it so much more than the build I saw.
Good. And the ambiance, you think, is pretty all right then?
Yeah, the ambiance is what carries it. So far, yeah, the voice acting, it's typical, you know, Japanese game translated to English. It's a little wonky, but there's still some interesting, you know, kind of scare jump points. I don't know. It is compelling enough to make me want to play more, which I wouldn't think when I saw Rise of Nightmares, you know, a couple months ago. I didn't think the game would do that.
No, that's good. I think that in horror games, that's actually the most compelling component is the ambiance. Because you can, I mean, in a horror game, not in all games, but in a horror game, if it's kind of clunky or if it's not, you know, if the inventory system's not perfect, as long as it's playable, I think you can, that's all sort of overridden by the ambiance.
The thing I'm thinking about is the pacing, because you start off one level, you have this one beginning it's an introductory level, then you go with the actual story and it's aboard a train, so you're kind of walking along this train. And I won't ruin the events, but, you know, it just seems kind of creepy and weird. Nothing really bloody or gory happens. And then, you know, there's kind of a change there. And it really is interesting because it has that slow build, that slow burn.
Right. Cool. So, Blue.
The horror.
The horror. What have you been playing, Blue?
Don't call Blue that. That's mean.
I pulled the trigger on the PSP.
Yeah. What?
Best system available.
And what do you think?
Whoa.
Well, you know, I will say that what you were saying, Sage, last week about, you know, maybe waiting for Vita, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, but after the 3DS kind of didn't turn out as well as I...
Yep, he's gone.
Hello? Oh, God. We lost him.
It's okay. I'm going to fill in for him. I just got a PSP, and then Deagle told me to get a bunch of games like ZHP and Atlas Does New York and Axis Does This Other Game, but I'm just going to buy Monster Hunter because Sean told me it was the greatest game ever, and it is. The end.
Wow.
Wow, Blue, that was
amazing.
A great review. Thank you.
No problem. Did I tell you about Sailor Moon?
You did not.
It's so great. There's a girl, and she wears a short little skirt, and she's got moon prism powers, and Wonder Twin powers activate. Yeah.
Wow, you're so character illiterate, Blue.
Yeah, you know us all way too well.
Yep. It's true. Now do Deagle.
It's kind of frighteningly the same, only the voice is deeper.
Just lose the accent, but say the exact same.
So what am I into then, Sean?
Zombies.
No, just sometimes. Okay, well, Blue may be joining us again shortly, but we'll move on and we'll come back to what he played. I don't want to rub scribble knots in everyone's face too much because everyone will get sick of it, but I do want to say I was shocked and pleased to discover that in Scribblenaut, zombie beats everything. Zombie beats a shark. Zombie beats a bear. Zombie beats dragons. Like, and it's not because zombie's just, you know, omnipotent. Because if you have, like, two bears, I mean, he dies because there's two of him and one.
I'm pretty sure George Washington beats a zombie in that game.
What about a Navy SEAL? Oh, that would be in Super Scribblenaut.
You know what? I could try that right now while we're talking, actually.
We've already talked about Scribblenauts too much.
I'm just going to check out George Washington. But anyway.
What about a grenade? A flashbang? Does that beat the zombie?
Flashbang only beats bears. Oh, God, we have Blue again.
I live.
Yay.
Thank you, Comcast, you fucking assholes.
Right? Well, Sean already told us all about how you feel about the PSP, so you can just listen.
Oh, God,
I can't wait
to hear that, on the podcast.
You can just listen to it next. No. So you were saying.
Basically, I was saying, you know, since the 3DS didn't turn out quite the way I was expecting it to, I decided that I'm going to wait on the Vita and just go with the sure thing that was the PSP. And I pulled the trigger on the bundle with Gran Turismo and MLB The Show 11. And, you know, I had seen that reviews for Gran Turismo were rather lackluster because they cut out the career mode that was in the previous games and stuff like that and just replaced it with, like, I guess you call it like a glorified arcade mode. And basically you have the entire roster of stages and then you play each course, you know, over and over and over again and work your grade up from like C rank or D rank all the way up to S rank. And you do that for all the stages as, I guess, a time killer of the main game mode, however you should view it.
I like to call it S rank.
S rank?
Yeah.
So S rank.
Damn, y'all can't so S rank.
Please tell me I'm not the only one that got that joke.
You're the only one who got that joke.
But yeah, I mean, it's like Gran Turismo didn't have a whole lot to it, but I think the pick up and play nature of it was improved because the original, or you know, the other Gran Turismo games on the home consoles, I love them, but they get almost overwhelming after a while. It's like I can't find the car that works just right for this race, and then you'd go off and play another race, and then you hit a wall there, and then you have to find another car that works well for that race, and it's just I start losing interest. I like the career mode of Forza better, but I won't go on any longer on Gran Turismo. But actually, one of the main games I've been playing is Disgaea Infinite, which is the visual novel. Yeah, and I mean, up until the point where the actual gameplay mechanics came in, I was really enjoying the game. But it's like you have to hear the same dialogue over and over and over again. You have to kind of experiment and find which choice you possess. The Disgaea characters, and then you can control their minds, and you can change, like, say, Laharl won't send Captain Gordon to clean his room. He'll instead make him stay out and walk around the throne room or something like that. And you have to find the right, you have to pick the right phrase and possess the right person, and then pick the right phrase for that person to get, like, I guess the ending where Laharl does not blow up in his assassination attempt or something like that.
Seems very complicated.
It's trial and error gameplay, and I mean, it's Disgaea. It has the personality is there, the characters and the voices are there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't use frequently, you know, FAQs a lot, but I'm starting to use one on this. I'm sick of trying to figure out which phrase I should use of three or four choice just to get the one cutscene that changes the events just the right way so I'll actually advance in the game. And I was hoping it would be like Phoenix Wright because, you know, Phoenix Wright, I mean, there's some trial and error gameplay, but if you really have an eye for detail, you know, you can kind of figure it out. It's, you know, it's because it's like murder mystery and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But with this, it's like it's overwhelming how much you have to keep track of, you know, to figure out, okay, since I did this, and then I did that with this character, and I did this one of that, and so forth. This character, I should use this instead of that. And it gets really confusing, and I love it. You know, I love this Gaia. I'm going to finish it, but I'm not enjoying it as much as I was hoping I would.
Did you purchase the UMD, or did you download that?
Yeah, I got the UMD. GameStop had it for like $15 or something like that. And PSN prices seem to be so much more for just the download title.
Because I think if you're going to play a Disgaea game, stick with the main, you know, canon. the printy stuff, this visual novel, not as good.
Real quick though, Blue, how do you feel about monsters?
Monsters? Oh, are we getting to the Monster Hunter discussion?
You should get that game so you can hunt them.
You should get it so that
America looks like one more person likes the game, and maybe they'll actually release another one. Then Sean will be.
Capcom's going to be bundling the Monster Hunter games and two of the Mega Man games as well for the PSP.
They have to bundle them with two Mega Man games just to sell them.
No. They're going to be like one popular thing that for the PSP lately has been bundling two games together. You know, you've seen like Daxter and Secret Agent Clank bundled together and a couple of the other.
It's a devious thing because what they'll do is they'll bundle two games that have nothing to do with each other. So that it'll seem like a really good deal, even though you really only want one of them.
Yeah, and Sega has a Phantasy Star collection.
Oh, yeah, play that one, too. I actually think you'd like that more than Monster Hunter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I mean, I am a huge Monster Hunter fan, but I feel like you personally would like Phantasy Star Portable, too.
I actually liked, for the most part, Phantasy Star Universe on the 360.
Okay, Phantasy Star Portable, the first one, is actually just a sort of abridged version of the expansion to Universe. So if you finished Universe, the story bleeds right into that. And then Phantasy Star Portable 2 is actually kind of a side story. Like, you'll run into a couple characters from the first Phantasy Star Portable, but it's more of its own story.
And there you go, kids. Everything you ever wanted to know about Phantasy Star Chronology.
But we're afraid to ask.
Go ahead, Bill.
The thing is with the Phantasy Star bundle is like it's both games are going to be packaged together for $10. And I was when I was getting my PSP, I saw Phantasy Star 2 Fantasy Star Portable 2, and it was like $32 all by itself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's how the first one was. The first one was $40 and still selling really well for a PSP game up until the second game came out.
Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a Monster Hunter Freedom bundle that's going to be like $15 or something like that, and I was thinking about picking that up.
Nice. For the record, George Washington does not beat Zombie. George Washington tries to fight Zombie and gets turned into Zombie. Abraham Lincoln runs away from zombies and gets turned into Zombie. And
what about a zombie George Washington versus a zombie?
Zombies. And here's the ultimate kicker. The new ultimate rock, paper, scissor I have discovered is Zombie Dragon Shotgun. Because Dragon because here's why. Dragon beats Zombie. Shotgun beats Dragon, strangely. And in a weird twist, Zombie beats Shotgun. You can sit there and shoot Zombie with your shotgun, and you will run out of shotgun ammo before Zombie will die.
Huh. Oh, it's like a Resident Evil game.
It's like completely ridiculous. So Zombie beats Shotgun, for those of you at home. Zombie beats Shotgun. Shotgun beats Dragon. Dragon eats the shit out of Zombie so fast. I know, that's the new Rochambeau.
I'd love to know how Abraham Lincoln can turn into a zombie by running away. What is it, like a...
No, they catch him and eat him.
Oh, they catch him and eat him? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, like so far
old Smith type thing.
George Washington will actually try to fight them. He just loses. Abe Lincoln just runs away. I don't know what kind of political commentary that is inserted into my Scribblenauts game, but... There's that. The only other thing in honor of zombiness, I played good zombie games, so I did not play Trapped Dead, and I did not play Dead Island, but I did play Metal Slug.
Dead?
No. But I did play Metal Slug, which I love, with the zombies, which are hilarious.
Yep. I always forget there's zombies in that game.
I love it.
Aren't they the ones that throw up on you?
Yep. And then you throw up on other people. It's beautiful. You get to be a zombie before you die. Now that's good gaming.
Oh. That sounds absolutely
see, that is the exception of the rule, probably because it came out in the 90s, but it has both zombies and Nazis, and it's awesome.
Which makes it good. If it has zombies and Nazis, it's a winner, according to techgaming.com.
Are they really Nazis?
Well, they're not. They're sort of Nazis.
Okay. No, they're definitely Nazis.
But they don't have swastikas and stuff because
but you know that they're Nazis, and there's a Hitler one that the aliens take up in their ship. I mean, you know that they're the Nazis.
Yeah. Okay.
If it looks like Hitler and it moves like Hitler, it's probably Hitler.
Or Master D.
Anyway, but we will move on to...
Is that the one from Bionic Commando?
Yes. Okay. Thank you for explaining that reference to our audience.
Me.
Okay, so trivia in honor of zombies is much of zombies. There's a couple others that are not zombies, but also not a lot of multiple choice on this week's trivia because I wanted to make it hard for everybody.
So we have to use our brains.
Make it hard for everybody or make it easy for you not to think up fake answers?
No, I asked Eagle. I asked Eagle if I should think up fake answers, and he said no. So I have hard ones that you have to use your brains for, and if you get close to the right answer, I'll give it to you since there's no multiple choice. So
is it okay if I use my Android phone?
Ooh, it is not okay. It is not okay if you use your Android phone.
Damn it!
Or the internet. That's a different kind of trivia. If none of you can get it, then whoever can look it up the fastest wins, I guess. I mean, I won't know. There's no way for me to know.
It's like sudden death.
Sudden death. So, keeping score.
Tom Savini.
No, what? That's not the answer.
I'm buzzing in already.
It's not any. You lose 5 points. Minus 5 points.
Fuck this game.
So Deagle and Sean at least should be able to get this one.
All right.
If they were paying attention. So which 2B zombie game shown at E3 in 2005 was dropped from release schedules when the publisher suffered financial troubles? Do you need multiple choices?
I mean, 2D zombie game.
What, 2D zombie game?
No. Which it was to be a zombie game.
Oh.
Which would have been zombie game.
And you said this is 2005?
It was shown at E3 2005 and then later pulled from the release schedule because the publishers ran into financial troubles.
Am I the only one who thinks we need multiple choice on this one?
Really?
I don't know. I'm going to say Stubbs.
It was not.
Stubbs came out.
I can give you guys multiple choice. Here you
go. I thought it was delayed. Was it delayed?
This game was not delayed. It was never released.
Oh, it never released. Okay.
It never actually came out. So your multiple choice answers, since you guys need them, are All Zombies Must Die, Carnival, City of the Dead.
Yeah, I'm going to say that one.
Or Corpse Killer.
City of the Dead. Man, you picked like two random ass arcade shooters in there.
City of the Dead.
All right, you all get it. But here's the bonus point. What was it based on?
Oh, Dawn of the Dead?
Nope.
Damn it.
Sean and Deagle?
Was it a Romero movie?
Was it a what?
Was it a Romero movie?
Close.
What is
Shaun
that?
Of the Dead?
It's either yes or no.
Blue, no, and Deagle, you have one part of that right and one part of that wrong. Sean, you want to take a guess?
I still say Book of Eli.
Wrong. All right, Deagle, you get half of a bonus point. It was based on Romero's series, The Living Dead.
Okay.
Like, whatever.
Why?
Okay, this should be known enough, so I'm not going to give you multiple choice for this next one. Who did the musical score for Plants vs. Zombies?
That Japanese girl.
Wrong.
The one with the chainsaw?
Wrong.
I have no idea.
You guys are crazy. Okay.
Right.
Sean was the most right. Do you guys want to try and look it up? No, that was Blue's answer.
No, just give us the answer.
It was Laura Shigihara. She is half Japanese, half French.
Oh,
that could be interesting.
Do any of you, as a follow-up, do any of you know the name? I'm ignoring your comment because it's terrible. Do any of you know the name of the game that Laura has been working on for the past couple of years, which is soon to come out, which is mostly musical-based?
Auto-tune the news.
No.
Cactuses versus the Undead.
No, you guys are awful.
No idea.
It's called Mellow Lune, and it's really interesting because it's a game that is like, I think it's like an RPG, but it's all like musically oriented being like
this
a rock.
So, is my trivia this obscure, guys, honestly?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
So here's a trick question.
Oh, bring it on.
What was the first zombie game?
Ever.
Adventure.
Zombie?
No. No.
The first.
That's not so good. Blue, you're close.
Ghouls and Ghosts.
No.
Zombies? Plural.
I'm giving you guys 2 seconds to look this up. Look it up. What was the first zombie game?
Was it a board game or a video game, do you mean?
It was a video game. What was the first zombie video game?
Zombies Ate My Neighbors?
No.
I'm pretty sure there was a zombie in Adventure.
No. It was the Dragons.
Pac-Man.
Okay, I'll give you guys a choice. Was it Zombie or The Evil Dead?
Zombie.
It's a trick. It's a trick because Zombie only released on the ZX Spectrum and therefore only in Europe.
What year?
In 1984, but The Evil Dead was released also in 1984 in America. Because it released on both the ZX Spectrum and the Commodore 64.
So the correct answer was what?
The correct answer is both, depending on where you lived.
I think there were zombies in games before 1984. That's just my opinion.
Well, not according to the internet, there weren't.
E.T. E.T. was a zombie, wasn't he?
He's an alien! What is wrong with you?
I know that. Okay, I don't like that movie, but...
Moving on to stuff that Sean might know, because it's more superhero-oriented.
Yeah.
What does MODOK stand for? Does it stand for Mental Organism Designed Only for Killing? Does it stand for...
Yes, that one.
Shut
that
up.
Works
does
for
it
me
stand
too.
For yeah. Mega Organism Designed Only for Killing? Mental Organism Designated Only for Killing? Or Mighty Originator Designed for Omnipotent Killing?
My orgasm.
Mental Organism Designed Only for Killing.
Is that everybody's answer?
Yeah.
Also, sometimes mechanical organism designed only for conquest. There's also MODOM, which is mental organism designed only for murder, which is the wife of MODOK, the bride of MODOK.
Jesus.
Sean wins 3 points for being so full of extra trivia.
What does MDK stand for?
Murder, death, kill.
Yeah, that's what I always thought, but David Perry said otherwise.
Well, it stands for that in Demolition Man, because that's what they call it when anybody gets killed. You had 3 murder-death kills in the past 3 days.
Wow. Okay, very good. So last question. Space Marines, an archetype of science fiction, were first introduced to literature by whom?
Aliens.
No.
No, actually, Starship Troopers,
that?
Not the very first. He's one of them. There are two guys. One is him, whose name is?
Starship McTrooperson.
Robert A. Heinlein.
That's right.
And the other one? Does anyone know?
Robert Turkey Allen. Lions Rainbow?
No.
Sage Morris Green.
No, E.E. Smith, who created the Lensman series, and that was basically the very first mention of Space Marines.
Wasn't that the guy that fills in for Max Weinberg on the old Conan O'Brien show?
What does that have to do with zombies?
It's not. These were alternate. These were other non-zombie questions in honor of Sean coming back because he fucking hates zombies. I told him I would come up with two questions that were not zombie related.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So next time I host, I will make easier trivia questions. But there you go.
If you wanted to do a Space Marine one and bring it back to the zombies, you could have asked, "What is the name of the undead race of machines in Warhammer 40K?"
Uh-huh, and you would have answered.
The Necron.
Very good. Homework for next week. You all need to read up on the ZX Spectrum and the Commodore 64, because they're awesome.
I had one.
They're older than me. Did you?
Yeah, I even had a VIC-20, so eat that.
Ooh.
I had a C-64.
Would the Virtual Boy have been a success in 1980?
The Virtual Boy is a success in my heart forever, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Hello, Adam.
The Virtual Boy is amazing.
A financial success in 1980? Yes, because it would have blown anything else away. It's like saying, would the CDI have been a major financial success right. in 1980? Of course it would.
Or a Razor phone in 1952.
Yeah.
I think also it would have been very well received because the idea of wearing a mask and doing some sort of virtual whatever was like... Because you guys remember Hackers, right? And Plague, the IT guy that the big company employs, he's, like, playing a virtual reality game when they come in to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a field that people really wanted to see become a thing, which still hasn't really become a thing.
I remember when the 32X was coming out. All my friends, the big rumor was Sega VR, and all my friends claimed they had some rich friend that actually had Sega VR. And his dad had the Playboy game, and they snuck in one time, and they played it, and it was like virtual reality boobs.
Your friends were liars. Did you tell all your friends that they were liars?
I totally bought into it. I was in, like, fourth grade. Give me a break.
You weren't as cynical as you are now. That's why you're so cynical, huh?
Probably. As soon as I found out there was no such thing as...
virtual reality boobs.
Well, I just like, in retrospect, that it was on, a Sega system. Like, you hook this into your Sega Genesis, and then here are boobies.
Now, what did the 32X do?
The 32X?
Yeah.
It let you play Star Wars, and then it...
No, but that...
And Virtua Fighter.
That allowed the graphic fidelity?
No. This was when the 32X was like, coming out. It was still kind of rumored.
Okay.
And everyone was like, oh, you know, Sega CD was out, and so this idea of hooking things into your Genesis was exciting and very realistic.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there was no early Fleshlight peripheral?
Gross. So gross.
You had to wait for the week for that one.
Although I was just having a conversation with my whole gaggle of guy friends yesterday on Labor Day about how women have a lot of options for sexual toys and designs, but men really just have the Fleshlight. So I feel sad for you guys. So they really should come out with virtual reality boobies, because you guys are lacking in that department.
Do you know the national productivity would just plummet if that ever happened? You know, that would be like World War III. That would devastate the United States.
That does that, by the way.
There's a what?
There is a peripheral that does something like that, by the way.
No way.
It came out a long time ago. But,
blow it all.
No, believe it or not. I know this is going to be a shocking surprise to you guys from Japan.
Is it the Res Trans Vibrator?
No.
Because I think we name dropped that last week.
This predates Res. I would go and find it, but I'm afraid of it.
Sean, please don't make this when it's dog. The Ibo.
You have to tell us what it is. What is it?
A simulator of sorts.
What? For video games?
Yeah, for the specific video games that they made to support it.
What is it? Tell me, I must know.
It's a special peripheral that for special games.
Is it a penis?
No, it's the opposite.
Is it it's a vagina?
Yes.
Oh my god, you're kidding me.
No. Are you really surprised?
Yes, I am really surprised.
Yeah, it's when you hook up into your computer, and then it like during certain points in the game, it activates.
Oh my god! But it's only in Japan.
Is it software or hardware based?
I think the hardware is soft.
Ew.
Not if it's gonna work properly.
Wasn't that like a late night Cinemax movie or something?
I don't know. I don't watch Skinemix.
We should really end this though.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on to questions, we have some mailbag questions. Speaking of Japan, so let's see if anyone answers this way. Now that we have that information, if you could only play games from one territory, those being the U.S., Europe, or Japan, which would it be?
Wait, does the U.S. include Canada?
Sure.
No.
Okay. No, that's an important question because if the U.S. includes Canada, then U.S. all the way.
Then no.
Wait, what do you like in Canada, Sean?
Canada.
Don't tell me BioWare.
Well, BioWare, I guess, but I'm just saying Canada's got a burgeoning industry, unlike every other region you just.
Canada is its own thing. So Europe.
I'm gonna take the gamble on Canada.
Okay. Because you think that they're gonna come out with bullshit.
Are we taking translation out of the mix? Like the games are translated, whatever. Yes.
You understand the native language. You are fluent in whatever.
Oh.
Say Japan. We know you're going to say Japan.
It comes with the peripheral that we just mentioned.
No, the peripheral has nothing to do with it. I think I probably would go with Japan because, I mean, you get Nintendo games. And you'd also get, like, a lot of those crazy mashup games that you just don't see over here, like that one where Optimus Prime can fight the car from Daytona, USA.
Have you ever played that game? It's awful.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's Super TV Smash Stars or something like that. It's awful. Solid Snake is also in that game, by the way.
Really?
Yes. Because the whole thing, it was Hudson, Konami, and some other toy company. Maybe Bandai? Yeah, I think it was Bandai.
Bandai. Probably Bandai.
Yeah, those are the teams. So Snake is in it. Simon Belmont's in it.
If Snake is in it and Sean doesn't like it, it must be bad.
Yeah, Optimus Prime is in it. It's Smash Brothers with a bunch of mini games, and it's not good. Believe it or not.
Sad.
Also,
Blue, you would go to Japan.
Yeah, because that would mean I also get some good Sailor Moon games.
Oh my God, Sean!
I was going to say that as a joke.
Sean totally nailed it.
What?
Listen to the podcast when we're.
You'll understand.
Am I that predictable? Yeah, probably.
Yes, apparently. Deagle.
Jeez, what do you guys think? It's actually kind of a tough call. I do like some sandbox games, some first-person shooters, which are pretty exclusive to the Western world. But if I had to go by my own favorites, I'd say Japanese games are more to my taste. But Europeans, and especially the English, make kind of music to my taste. And the United States gives me the opportunity to afford all these great games. So
yeah, we didn't ask what you liked best about each country.
Is that your attempt to stay neutral?
That's bullshit.
I'm going Japanese then.
Good.
The interesting question would be, would it be only past games, only future games, or both? Because I think that really colors it. If it's only games that have already been released, I think I would probably also go with Japan, because I feel like the library in general is more rich. But like I said, I'm betting on Canada, because I think 5 years
the
from
future.
Now...
I think it's both. I think it's games in general.
Now, are you guys on the bandwagon that the Japanese developers are kind of bankrupt?
No.
Yep. Idea bankrupt?
I think the current staple of Japanese developers needs to go away in order for the young, up-and-coming developers to have any sort of...
Do you think that'll actually happen?
It will happen. I think a lot of the big companies are either going to go completely out of business, or they're going to just be in such a hurt locker that we're going to go through a Japanese drought. And
you think Capcom's going to hurt?
Eventually.
Okay.
For the record, I also would pick Japan. I am a Nintendo fan. They were the first, games to sort of touch my heart, and I think Japan sort of gets video gaming better, even in their weird peripheral-inducing strange eccentricities. I think that they understand the gaming world quite a bit better than everyone else, and that ever, I mean, Canada aside, I don't know what they're going to do in the future, but in general, I think they get what gaming is supposed to be about. They've always stayed true to that idea of it should be both about a beautiful story that, that allows you to escape, but also gives you something meaningful and beautiful.
Be about that same meaningful story every single time.
No, well, they do have some variations on a form. They do have some repetition, but I will take that over the mindless drivel that America tends to produce any day, because at least it's got some quality to it.
Yes,
so Japan,
LA Noir has so much less going for it than Disgaea. You're absolutely right on that.
Is every game a gold nugget? No. Is everything you say a gold nugget? No. So I think Sean won, Japan won, it's even.
No one said Europe.
Fuck Europe.
Europe.
They don't have anything.
I honestly feel like if any of us picked Europe, they would have gotten the biggest variety. But
yeah,
I mean,
well,
German games are way different than say.
I think they do make the best racing games over there, actually.
Yeah, but I don't want the racing games.
It's a big market just because none of us play racing games.
I play racing games. What are you talking about?
There you go.
I bought a PSP with a racing game. Like, a racing game.
So well, anyhow,
you should buy a PSP with Monster Hunter.
Let's not get on Monster Hunter. Let's get on our next mailbag question.
Which is Japanese, not Canadian.
Which is no.
What? You know what? If I pick Canada, I would get Moose Hunter.
This comes from.
Now that comes with a peripheral too, doesn't it?
This comes
like
with
one
a gun.
Of those bright orange rifle things.
It comes with a giant moose gun. It's like the bazooka, only it has antlers at the front.
It's a moose cannon.
Moose cannon. Okay, so from Jeremy Lamont, our pal on Twitter, we have a question. He actually Twittered me a question, so props to him and nobody else. His question is, what's the best innuendo in all of video gaming? We are not including the vagina periphery game, so don't even bring that up.
In your endo.
Not a video game, funny though it may be. So, best innuendo of all of the gaming.
Didn't we just cover this about 5 minutes ago?
Yeah,
no.
We did.
Okay.
We did not.
The twin stick shooter?
Not ones that we've made up.
Oh.
No, so. I like that one. That's actually really good.
That was from last week's podcast. That doesn't count.
See, I didn't listen to last
it's
week.
Not,
I like twin
and it
stick
wasn't
shooter,
twin stick. It wasn't twin stick shooter, it was twin dick shooter.
Well, whatever. Yeah. It was the same.
I want to get somebody from Gay Gamer on the horn and see what they have to say about that one.
I don't know if they'd be too pleased with our conversation.
They would
about
be
it.
Totally pleased.
I like what's that little squirrel's name? That cheeky bastard.
Conker's
got some good ones.
See, I thought he was asking for actual, like, let's take a title of a game, like, and talk about how it's an innuendo, but I can't think.
Oh.
I was thinking
Wake?
Wii.
Yeah, Wii worked.
You know, it's like the Wii, and you have the thing in your hand, and you shake it back and forth, and...
Wow, I have never thought about it that way, and now I'm going to have a hard time using my Wii, but yeah, I guess that's true.
Right. You never played No More Heroes?
Are you going to have a hard time using it, or an easier time using it?
I did not ever play No More Heroes.
Okay.
Why, was that part of it?
Every once in a while, you have to charge your beam katana, so you hold it in front of you and make that shaking motion.
The Mario game is like that, too. Mario Party, there's one. This game is just for people who whack it all the time, because there was one mini game that was shake your can a lot, a lot, a lot, and then you open it, and whoever's spray comes out the hardest wins.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you literally just, like, jack off the fucking Wiimote until the game is over.
This is the point where isn't there like a gif of like somebody shaking the Wii remote and making like a disgusting face like, ooh, something splashed all over my face.
I fucking really do not want to see it if there is. So anyway, we will wrap it up at this point. Look forward in the near future to a all free to play cast. I think that's a great idea. And please send us more questions. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, because if you do, we'll love you and we'll send you free gifts. We will hopefully have another giveaway soon, but not super soon, but pretty soon. And if you want to follow us all on Twitter, you can follow me at SamuRage. You can follow Deagle at Tech-Gaming.
Right? Underscore.
Or underscore, that's what I meant. Tech_Gaming. You can follow Sean, who will now be back in the gaming world a little bit more, at Sean Nola with two N's. And you can follow Blue. Ed Blue's, I just always want to call you Blue because it's such a cool name.
Thank you.
Okay,
good. You know, I mean, if I've been including my regular name and it never took off, so yeah, you guys can just call me Blue.
Okay, so you can follow our pal Blue at Blue Swim.
Blaz Blue.
Blaz.
That has an awesome soundtrack, by the way.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, I love that. I have a question.
Naked
eye.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Do you think that Sonic colors?
Yeah, Sonic has colors.
Okay. So Sonic Colors is worth getting.
Got an attitude. For GF.
It's like one of my favorite theme songs for a TV show growing up.
Nice talking to y'all. Ready. See y'all soon.
Bye.
Y'all later.
This is the best podcast you guys have ever done, and it was all sex jokes and poop jokes for like 20 minutes straight.
Sex and poopers.
That makes me sad.